Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sabi ajma'in, ashadu la ilaha illallah wa ashadu wa muhammadin abduhu wa rasul ma'ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And alhamdulillah, 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 alladhi ja'alana muslimin. Praises to the one who made us Muslim. We're here today in Roland Heights, which is, as we said earlier, just off the coast of Los Angeles. In nautical miles. Alhamdulillah, this is Yusuf Estes, National Muslim Chaplain, and we're broadcasting almost live from right here. What's the name of the masjid? Masjid what? Quba. Masjid Quba. That reminds me of Quba. The famous one in the time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina, right? Subhanallah. Yes, mashallah. We're having a pretty good time out here, and we've been talking on the subject of a promise. We talked about the promise, and I'd like to continue on that if it's okay, because I think it's important, especially in these days, for us as Muslims to stand real firm on some of our very basic things. Because when we do, it has a big influence on us as Muslims, has an influence on the non-Muslims, and inshallah, it puts us in a better standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very basic thing, is this promise that we've been talking about. And for those of you who just tuned into the program, maybe just heard this for the first time, you don't know where we're at, on the subject, what we've talked about is that there's something in Islam, it's haq, it's truth, absolute truth. And then there's a promise. There's a promise for the believer from Almighty Allah of salvation. And we've been talking about how Allah has promised a salvation, a forgiveness, a grace, and an entrance into paradise for those who are the ashab. I heard the imam use the term this morning in the salat when he said the ashab. What is the ashab? It means from, like the word sahabi, companions of what? Jannah, and he used that term, the companions of the paradise. And I want to be one of those. All of us do. And so the promise of Allah is for those who worship Him alone without any partners, they don't make this blasphemy, as it's called in English language, or shirk, as it's called in Arabic, association of partners with Allah in worship. If they do this, there's a promise of Allah that they will be forgiven. So there's an expression, La ilaha illallah, in the Arabia, in the Arabic language, which means that the person recognizes there is only one deity who is worthy of this worship, this ibadah or devotion, and that's only Almighty Allah. So whoever does this, he has the promise from Allah that he will go to paradise. And so this expression is used in a very famous narration or teaching of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, when he tells us that whoever had an ounce of iman or faith in La ilaha illallah, they will enter the Jannah. And then he goes on and he says, even those who had a fragment, a small tiny bit of belief in La ilaha illallah, they'll enter the Jannah. And then he went on to say something that was equal today, an atom's weight of belief in La ilaha illallah, none to worship except just one God, they will enter the Jannah. So this is the promise. So now this morning what I'd like to do is take the other side of it, and what is the promise that the human being is making? He has to make a promise. And that is the promise when he said, La ilaha illallah. I bear witness, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness, this is a promise. This is a promise. I promise I won't make partners with Allah in worship. There is no God beside Almighty God. And He is to do all worship. And I shouldn't worship anything. I'm going to quote some of this from the Bible. So for those that are Christians listening to this in the future and you hear this, or those who are Jewish, those who are familiar with the monotheistic faith, I want you to think about this because it's in the book of Exodus and the book of Deuteronomy. It's called the Ten Commandments. First commandment said, thou shalt not have any other God besides God. How many Muslims like this idea? We love it. Everybody here raising their hand, by the way. And all of us are saying the same thing. That's number one for us too. You said it's number one commandment. We said it's number one too. And we'd like to know, what is this promise exactly? We found now references in the Old Testament, in the Torah, the book of the Israelites. What about the prophets who came later? Did they say the same thing? And yes, they did. The prophets Jeremiah, according to the Old Testament, Ezekiel, who was always called the Son of Man, by the way, by God. God called him Son of Man and said, "Say, O Son of Man, cool, cool." He's told him over and over when he wanted him to say something. This is what it says in Quran too, by the way. Say, cool. Amazing, huh? And so, I mentioned a few other the prophets. Hosea, Prophet Hosea, which is one of the very last of the smaller books of prophets in the Old Testament. And look what it says in the chapter, I think it's chapter 13, verse 6. I think if you look it up in the Bible, you'll find it says that he's saying what God is teaching. "I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage." This is what it says in the other verses too. But this one gets really strong. It says, "You know no other God beside me, and beside me there is no Savior." So God is the only Savior. But now let's move forward, because I often have these dialogues with our brothers in humanity, those who are the Christians who follow very closely some teachings of our prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. And they say, "Yeah, but you know, the New Testament cancels a lot of that and has some kind of a new concept of God." And I ask them, "What about these commandments? You know, by the way, the Jewish, the Israelites, they are forbidden to eat chanzir." Chanzir is pork, pig, yes? And we Muslims are forbidden the same thing, is that true?
Yes.
And also the Israelites, they had certain laws to deal with those who commit zina, which means in English, basically adultery, fornication. And by the way, we have the same laws as Muslims. What's in their book happens to be in Islam as well, many of these commandments. Circumcision. Israelites have to circumcise their little boys. Muslims, same thing. I think we call it katan. Is it katan? I get the wrong emphasis on the wrong thing. I'm going to have people talking about my shirt, katan. Careful, don't cut my shirt in half. Anyway. So what we're learning here is they have commandments, we have commandments, but when we ask from the Christian, "How come you guys don't do this?" They say, no. New Testament canceled the Old Testament. Well, Testament also means promise, by the way. The Testament is a promise, because it's a bearing witness. Testimony, that's you promise what you're saying is true, yes? So this Testament from Almighty Allah, in the Old Testament, is a promise from Allah. There's a promise with the New Testament. And they said it counsels, and I don't know, I don't think so. Let's look and see what does their book say about that. Let's look only within its own text. What does it say? Does it counsel it? And actually we find many references over and over in the Gospels. These are people who knew Jesus according to them. And they said that he said these things. And constantly, according to them, "If you love me, you'll love the Father," they mean God, "and you follow the commandments." You keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. This expression is used over and over and over, even in the minor books in the New Testament. Keep what? Commandments. And keeping the commandments is a promise. You're keeping your promise. Let's look specifically, though, at a very big teaching early on in the book, when it says in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 17, they said that Jesus said these words, and I want you to think, what does it mean? If it's true, I don't know, I'm just saying, this is what the book says. Jesus tells them, according to their own teaching, "Think not, don't you dare think this, okay? Don't think that I came to destroy the law of Moses, and the teaching of the prophets, the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but rather I came to fulfill. And not until all things are accomplished shall even one dot or jot or iota of the law be in any wise lessened, and whoever breaks the least commandment and teaches this, he'll be the least in the kingdom. Break the least commandment, the smallest one. If he breaks this, he'll be the least in the kingdom. If this is what he does and he teaches it, because it's a combination here. You did it, and you're teaching that as being okay. Then it continues. But whoever keeps the commandments and teaches this, he'll be the highest in the kingdom. Just keep the commandments. Keep the promise. Teach that. You'll be the highest in the kingdom. And not unless your bir, or taqwa, and your piety or righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. These were the ones in charge of the temple at that time. Not unless you exceed theirs, because obviously he's saying theirs is no good. He said you won't enter paradise. Meaning they're going to go to hell. Why? Because they're breaking that. And we found that in the Quran. Especially, it's interesting that the things they want to argue about, it's in their own book. For instance, it says in the Quran, in Surah Tawbah, that's chapter 9, if you go by the numbers like I do, and then verse 31, the ayah says, more or less the translation, that the people of the book, that's the Jews and the Christians, took their rabbis and monks in partnership with Allah. They worshipped them. They were worshipping their leaders, their religious leaders. Now, Ali bin Hatim, one of the companions, radiallahu anhu, a companion of Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, no, they don't do that. They don't worship, because he used to be a Christian. He said, they don't worship these rabbis and monks. They don't do that. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, they certainly do. So don't they accept to change the law of Allah from these people when they make something forbidden, which Allah made permissible, and they made something permissible, which Allah forbid? In other words, breaking the commandments. Don't those people accept these priests and these rabbis' teachings that break the actual commandments? He said, yeah, they do that. He said, in that way they worship them. So here is a verse very clear from Bible, verse very clear from Quran, agreeing totally. Total agreement here. Hello? How can you argue with us in your own book? Said the same thing. Keep the commandments. Alright? Keep the promise. Don't change the law. Hello? So, that's part of the promise. That's part of the promise. So we today, as Muslims, we're looking at ourselves and saying, what's our problem? Because this is not an opportunity for us to criticize the Israelites. Nor is it a chance for us to criticize those who follow the Christ. Because, by the way, we love the prophets of the Israelites. We love Moses and Abraham, and we love David and Suleiman. We love them so much that after their names, what do we say? Alayhi salam. May Allah's peace and blessings be with them. Peace be upon them. And when we say Jesus, we call him the Christ, the Messiah. Ibn Maryam. Christ, the son of Mary. This is what we say. And what do we say about him? Alayhi salam. And peace be upon him. And peace be upon her. Because we love them so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, she's the best of the women created. So how could you misunderstand and think we don't love who you love? You love God, you love Jesus, you love Mary, you love these prophets, and we love them too. But we're trying to keep our promise, because real love is more than just walking around with a warmy feeling inside of you, this fuzzy feeling of, ooh, it's more than this. Real love is keeping your promise. And the promise is what? No God to worship except God. We don't make any partners with Allah. What happened? What's our condition? Let's look to ourselves and find out what's going on with the Muslims today. Have we been keeping the commandments from our book? Have we really kept our promise to Allah? And I'm going to ask you, brothers and sisters in Islam, please consider this. If we, in fact, have kept our promise, then we should be the best on this earth right now. We should be the highest in authority on this earth, because Allah elevates those who worship Him. Those who honor Allah and honor the promise and keep the commandments, Allah elevates them to a very high station. He always has. He always gives victory. You give him a test, yes. He promises that too. Allah's promise in the Quran, in Surah Ankabut, chapter 29 of the Quran, verse 2, verse 3. Do they think they'll be left alone on saying we believe and they won't be tested? And for sure we're going to test them as we tested those before to show the truthful of those that are true and the liars in their falsehood. So you'll be tested as soon as you say, I believe, and I want to make a promise to Allah to worship only Him. Fine, I'm going to test you on the promise. And it makes sense. We should be tested on it. But after that, after difficulty, فَإِنَّمَا أُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّمَا أُسْرِ يُسْرَ. After difficulty comes ease. After difficulty comes success. After difficulty comes this opportunity now to be elevated up, and Allah gives good status to those who worship Him alone and keep these commandments. So my question is, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, then why are we as Muslims today such a large number and in such a very terrible shape? Why have we no leader? Why have we no representation on this earth? Why did we lose our Khalifa in 1922? Why are we today being smashed in so many countries over such futile and stupid things? How could we be in such bad shape? And never mind trying to blame any superpowers, because that's wrong. There's only one superpower, Allah. And never mind trying to blame certain other religious faiths on earth for all of our problems, because, in fact, all of our problems come from ourselves. The famous statement of the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, while he was in the hood inside of the whale in the bottom of the ocean, after 3 days and three nights, according to the Bible, it has the story. And he's there, and finally he gets out, but it doesn't say how. They must have lost that somewhere. But in the Quran we have it real clear. Same story, but look what happens. Look what happens. He says something that's so important that we must never forget it. And then Allah lets him out. What does he say? La ilaha illa anta subhanak. Inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. He says, in more or less a translation, that there is no deity worthy to worship except you. And glorified and above all other things that people want to worship with you, are you high status. This is subhanak. This is a big term, by the way. And verily, the wrongdoing is what I did to myself. Bulum, the oppression and wrongdoing is from who? From myself. And this is the teaching in Islam. We are where we are because of our own hands. What our own hands set before us, we see it today. Manifest today right in front of us. How will it be for us on the Day of Judgment? If you've already seen the damage we've done to ourselves here, how much more are we going to look forward to on the Day of Judgment? And why? Because of this word, promise. We have not kept our promise. You say, brother, excuse me? You don't see me falling down in front of a cow like in some countries. I'm not worshiping a statue. I don't pray to a cross. I'm praying directly to Allah. I don't get where you're going with this. How dare you say that I'm doing something here? I think most of you here today in the masjid know exactly what I'm talking about. But for the benefit of those who may listen to this in the future and may want a question, then I'll ask you the question. Do you understand this promise? Because true ibadah, true worship to Allah, is to forsake everything else for Allah. Forsake means to give up. And do we truly give up everything for the sake of Allah to keep our promise, or do we not? Is there anything in this creation of Allah that we love more than Allah? Because if there is, that means we forsake Allah for that. A'udhu billah. May Allah save us from it. Do you love your title? This title that people have given you so much? Do you love your wealth so much? Do you love your knowledge so much? Do you love your position in society so much that you forsake the promise to Allah? The promise to the Allah from the Muslim are five things that we must do. Physical things that we must do. And six things that we must believe. And the promise of belief, we have six. What are they? First of all, that we know Allah is La ilaha illallah, the only one. The only one to be worshipped. Number two, we believe in His angels, and they are the ones who follow His commandments, and they never make a mistake, and they always do what He says, and you don't see angels, but they are there. Number three, we believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that means we don't criticize the Bible. We don't criticize the Torah and the Injil. We say that these are the same as the Quran, but they don't exist anymore in their original form, but we still honor and respect them. We don't insult the Bible. We don't make debates with Christians whether or not their book came from God. We already know it came from God. Hello? And that's a big mistake a lot of Muslims have made, and they fell for a big trip from the shaitan. And some of our scholars fell for this same trip. We got to stay away from that. Stay in the right way. Alhamdulillah. Next, we believe in all the prophets. We cannot put any prophet over another prophet. And sometimes I saw Muslims actually, and astaghfirullah, I know we claim this doesn't happen, but I saw it with my eyes, that some people worship Muhammad more than they worship Allah. And this is wrong. Anybody who prays to Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, we love him, we respect him, and we honor him, and if you truly keep your promise to him, we have a promise to Muhammad, and that's what, the same thing, worship Allah. And he ordered us, don't do to me what the Christians have done to my brother Jesus. Don't put me in that level. Don't pray to me. Don't worship me. It starts out with something simple like what? A birthday party for Muhammad. And then what? How long before you're making the same mistake that they made? Hello? And I know some are going to be you're going to hear this in the future. You're going to say, oh, listen, brother, you don't know. This is something nice. We've been doing this for years and years and years. And so this is your evidence to do it. It's because you've just been doing it forever. So it's okay, right? But what did Allah say about that in the Quran? The people who He's going to burn in hellfire say that we are only doing what we found our forefathers doing. Is that what they say? But you say, but where's the evidence in the promise? Where is it in the Quran? Where is it in the Sunnah? Where is it in the teachings of Islam that you give a birthday party to your prophet when he said, don't do that? Oh, brother, you don't understand. Oh, trust me, I understand more than you think. My degree happens to be in theology, and my background happens to be in the Bible, and I happen to understand real clear the mistake of the people before us. Because at one time I associated myself very closely with the Old Testament and considered myself like an Israelite. Then I considered myself very close to, when I was in my teens, very close to the Christian teachings from the teaching of the Bible. And when I came to Islam, I realized it's still the same thing. And it's the same problem too. You're breaking the promise to Allah when you begin to put anything Allah created in too high of a status. Do we love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course we do. But don't we also love Isa alayhi salam? Don't we love Jesus? You see, with us, we raise all of our prophets up very high, don't we? Very, very high. High status. We do not attribute any masiyah, major sins, to any of the prophets. We don't. But they're still human, and they make normal mistakes. And they ask Allah to forgive them. So consider them as human and stop worshiping them. And this is the same message to the Christians. We put Jesus up high too. We put all the prophets up, but we take Jesus out of that level where you have Him as God. No, we have Him just underneath that, which is a servant, which you call Son of God, we call Servant of God. High status. This is for all of them. Just by the way, I mentioned that earlier for a reason in the book of Ezekiel when it says Son of God, because that's, by the way, only thing Jesus ever called Himself in the Bible was Son of Man, not Son of God. Not Son of God. When it refers to Son of God in the New Testament with Jesus, it says Jesus is the son of Joseph, and Joseph is the son of Matthat, and Matthat is the son of so and so. And it goes all the way back for 57 generations until the very end, and it says, and Enos is the son of Seth, and Seth is the son of Adam, and Adam is the son of God. Well, that's the only Son of God reference there along with Jesus. Not him, it's his great-great-grandfather, the same one we have. And we don't think he's the Son of a God, really. Christians don't say that either. They say, well, no, it means like he's like in a high position with God. Well, that's what we believe too. Same thing we believe. And when it says it in Ezekiel, it actually says Son of Man. Jesus said Son of Man. This is, we're going to agree with that. Let's stop making the prophets more than what they are. They are messengers of Almighty God. They've brought a message to all of us, and that's the promise. The message is the promise from Allah to us, and our promise to keep these commandments. Does it make sense? Let's go to the next one. We have to believe in Yawm al-Akhir. Is that right? That is the day of judgment. We're all going to be brought back. That's good news for everybody. Everybody's going to be resurrected. Even those who thought they were going to die and turn into vapor, it won't happen. Allah will bring them back. Good news. Very good news. Every atheist, every mushrik, every single pagan, every idolater, every single Christian and Jew, and everybody who's a Buddhist, and everybody's a Hindu, and everybody's a Muslim, we're all going to be brought back. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Good news. The bad news is, only those who kept the promise are going to go to the promised land. And by the way, that word promise I'm using in promised land, in case you didn't know that, straight out of the Bible. They call it the promised land. And they call it the promised land for the promised people. And who are they? Who are they? It says the Jews. The Christians say the Jews. That's interesting. We say it's anybody who has that. And by the way, you know what the word, it's not Jew. The word is not Jew in Arabic. The word is not Jew in Hebrew. You know what it is? Yahud. They call themselves Yahud. They call themselves Yahud. This is not, I had some Christians tell me, why do you call them Yahudi? That's not nice. Call them Jewish like they do. I go, what? They call themselves this. Because it's from the word Hidayah, from guidance. They say they're the chosen. We say, of course they're the chosen ones. They were chosen to receive Hidayah. They were chosen to receive guidance. And Allah guided them and sent them the best guide. They sent Moses to him. Allah sent who? Musa, and he took them and guided them very much. He guided them in the world around for all those years, and he guided them in Tawheed. He guided them in the right belief in the monotheism, the oneness of God. Is that true? So with this kind of guidance, how could they go astray unless they're really perverted? But when they began to worship other than God, when they began to worship the golden calf, which they did, it tells you in the Bible what happened to them when they broke the promise. So this is what we've been talking about today. You are listening to Islam Dabar. We're going to sum it up, by the way, before I leave the subject, by mentioning the final point. We have to believe as Muslims in something called the Qadr of Allah. The Qadr of Allah is the area that our Prophet, peace be upon him, predicted that we would fall apart on in the last day. And certainly we have done exactly that. He predicted, and keep in mind, his prophecy has come true, that the Muslims would begin to dispute over this point. And it is it's a contention which cannot be overlooked, because it is a vital part of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim unless you believe in the six articles of faith. So how could you argue about any of them? If it is a basic tenet of your religion, you cannot argue about it. Is that right? It's not open for discussion. The Qadr, by the way, for those who are going, what's he talking about? It means predestination. It means fate. It means whatever is going to happen, good or evil, is from God. Good or bad, it comes from God. Some said, wait a minute. We know God is good. How are you saying God is evil? I didn't say that. I never said that. Allah is never evil. If Allah was, you'd all be fried anyway. But Allah is merciful, He's fair, but He's good. And this subject, though, the good and evil, Allah is the one who created it. And the proof for the Muslims who want to argue that point is very clear in the next to the last surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقَ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. It says, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of daybreak. From what? From the evil that He created. Who created it? And that's in the Quran. I mean, Allah said it. He created evil. So, shut your mouth, Yasmut, and go down the road and think about what the meaning is of this Qadr. Allah knows what's going to happen. He created everything knowing what was going to happen. And if you said, well, wait a minute, where's our free will? Why are you arguing this point? Nobody ever said human beings had free will. That is not a teaching in Islam. That's not a teaching in Islam. You have free choice, but free will is a totally different matter. Because when Allah wants anything to happen, He said in the Bible, He said in the Quran, Kun fayakun. Be and it is. That's the very beginning teaching in Genesis for the Israelites. It's the beginning teaching for the Christians. It's the beginning teaching for us. When Allah wants anything done, He merely says, be and it is. Hello. He doesn't have to come down on earth in the form of a man to try to save people. If He wanted to save them, what would He do? Kun fayakun. Boom. That's it. So let's don't make any argument about the subject. The only place we're going to have an argument in the books is where the book argues with itself. And Quran doesn't do that. Allah said in the Quran, if it were from other than Allah, you would find within it a lot of what? A lot of what? Argumentation. A lot of argumentation, contradiction. But you don't find any at all. And it's the same as the Bible. There's no mistake in the Bible. Except where it argues with itself. For the benefit of the Christians who think we don't believe their book, we're saying, bring your book and look at your book and compare it to our book. You'll find that it's exactly the same, except where your Bible contradicts Quran, it also contradicts itself. I'll give you only one example of that before I close, because we've got other things to do in the program today coming up, so stay tuned. But I do want to touch this one subject. It does say real clear in somebody's book that God is not a man. Never is a man. And in somebody's book, it says he doesn't have any genealogy. He's not the son of man. And whose book am I talking about? Right away, the Muslims are going to say, yeah, we know right where it is. It's in Surah Ikhlas. Qul hu Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Allah is not the father of anything. He's not the son of anything. That's what you mean, right, Yusuf? Huh? No. Of course I know that's true. I'm not denying that. I'm saying that is not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible said the same thing. Hello? Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man. God is what? Not a man that he should sin. And God is not the son of man that he should make tawbah or repent. Oh, wait a minute. The New Testament cancels the Old Testament. We already answered that one, didn't we? Hello? Go back and see it. Jesus didn't say that. The promise is the same. It doesn't change. God didn't change. We change. We try to change the religion. We try to change the belief. We try to mix each other up. We try to control each other. And that's why we're all in the condition we're in. Let's do this. Let's make a big promise right now to stop doing these mistakes and get back on track. Can we do that? Everybody ready to make the promise? The promise is real simple. Just say, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashadu on the Muhammad or Rasulullah. I bear witness, I promise, not to worship anything other than Almighty God and make no partners with Him in worship. And I promise to uphold the teachings of His last and His final messenger, which is Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. And whoever said that and whoever meant that, they have the promise of Allah that Allah will forgive them and grant them paradise. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen, Hu Aladi Jalan Muslimin. And you've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We encourage you to visit us more on the website, the internet website, IslamTomorrow.com and IslamAlways.com, because that's where we have the written text of these programs. IslamAlways.com, Islam Yesterday for the videos and audios, and Islam Tomorrow, IslamTomorrow.com. We're open 24 hours a day. There's always plenty of free parking. So be there and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.